bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
So Joseph is going through his life innocently, but there are people who hate him and there are people who are shooting at him. Sometimes the target comes from people you call friends, like Joseph's brothers. Sometimes it's from your own home. Sometimes it comes from people you have offended in high places, like Potiphar's wife. The woman says, "I love you, Joseph." Joseph says, "Thank you, but no thank you." He hasn't beaten her. But from that time, she begins to scheme, "How do I destroy this man?" And targets him for destruction. That's the second arrow. Hatred, targeting. And the third one, the Bible says he was grieved. That means he was painfully wounded. People don't hate you and attack you for fun. They do it to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Joseph's brothers wanted to finish him off, and Potiphar wanted to destroy him. They wanted him off the face of the earth for wearing a nice suit, for having a dream, and for refusing a proposal. There is a target, and there is a mark on him to destroy him. And the Bible says they grieved him. They wounded him painfully. The thing about wounding is that when you are wounded, you tend to withdraw. You tend to be quiet. Because in life, by the time you are about 30 years old in life, you would have collected several arrows. You know, so you are walking nicely in life, but there are arrows sticking inside of you. By the time, let's say by 30, you've collected about 10 nice arrows. By the time you are 50, you've collected about 30 arrows. By the time you're about 65 on retirement, you have about 100 arrows sticking all over you. Your friends, your enemies, people in high places, people in low places, people you trusted, everybody has tried to shoot you. And after all these shots, you get hurt. And when you get hurt, you become inward looking, not outside looking. And so Joseph receives these attacks from his home, from his boss, from the workplace, from political people like Potiphar's wife, from domestic people. He's under attack. That's the first major thing he has to deal with, the piercings of men. I know many people who have abandoned their vision in life because of the attacks that have come against them. Life has shot too many things, and there's too much pain inside you. Some people have decided, okay, I won't do anything again. I'll just hide in my little corner. That is the purpose of the attack, is to put you on the defensive, is to make you withdraw to your corner, is to make you be silent, is to make you not dream again, is to make you not walk around with your coat of many colors again. The design of the archer is to make sure you are on the defensive. But you are coming out. This morning, you are going to come out of every pain, of every hurt, of every bitterness, of every disappointment, of every arrow that has been shot at you, no matter where the arrow came from, whether from your home, your enemy, your friend. You are going to come out of this situation because you are a dreamer, you have coat of many colors, you have a vision, and you're going to fulfill your destiny. This is not time to quit. But that was not all the challenge Joseph had to deal with. Arrows But he had to deal with walls that were erected around him. Barriers, containers. The scripture says, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches ran over the wall. His branches ran over the wall. You will also run over the wall. You will not be contained by hatred. You will not be contained by any wall. His branches ran over the wall. Joseph is like a mango tree in one house, whose fruits, part of it is in the house it is planted in, and the other branch has gone over the wall to the neighbor's house. So his planter says, you are for me alone. But the mango says, I think my purpose is beyond your house. I think I can feed the other house too. Somebody is like that mango tree. Somebody has tried to wall you in and says, this is how far you can go. This is your limit. This is your boundary. But you were not made for that boundary. You were made for something greater. And you are going to get there. I said you are going to get there. I don't know what walls you have to deal with and what arrows you have to deal with. You are going to get there. Now, what were the walls that Joseph had to deal with in his life? The first wall he dealt with in his life is that he began life from the behind. How do you survive in a hierarchical society like Joseph's society? Joseph's society is hierarchical. It is based on who comes first, who comes second, who comes third, who third. It's a long hierarchy. How do you survive when you are the 11th? Number 11. How do you make it? There are 10 boys ahead of you. How do you survive in such a situation when you were born from the behind and your society believes that if you are from behind, you have to wait for your turn? So for Joseph, there are 10 boys ahead of him, and if he's ever going to get great, then the first one has to be great, the second one has to be great, everybody has to have their chance, and then finally, number 11, it comes to him. And if you're going to wait for everybody to have their turn, you never have your turn. So the first barrier he has to deal with is that he's starting from way behind. Way behind. And sometimes in life, life will deposit you way behind. Way behind. You start life and you there are people way ahead of you. Your father didn't help you much. Your mother didn't help you. Your grandfather too added to the problem. So now you are born way behind. Behind in poverty, in disorder, in dysfunction. Your family is not together. Your father is not responsible. Your mother has left you. And you are living with some auntie. And the auntie too is poor. And she already has 5 children. And you are number 6. From her sister. And you're supposed to survive in life. That's a wall. And for some of us, we look at life and the wall we inherit and we say to ourselves, I don't think it can work. May I suggest to you, you are a fruitful vine and your branches will run over the wall. That's the first thing he had to deal with. The family system. He was starting life from behind. Secondly, he was dumped into a pit. A pit represents your lowest point. How do you survive a pit? Apart from being behind, he's now below. Now, if you are behind, it's good. But behind and below complicates your problems. Third problem he had. Third wall. He was thrown into a strange land. He's now beyond. He's behind, below, beyond. And in a strange land, he had to deal with cultural barriers. He had to deal with language barriers, age barriers, racial discrimination, inferiority complex. These are barriers he has to deal with. I don't know how a teenage boy, we are not too sure how Joseph, how old he was, but it's presumed that he was about 13, 14 about this time. He's a young boy thrown into a strange land. You have to learn a new language. Your parents are not there. Your father is not there. You have to learn a new culture. People mistreat you because you go in as a slave. You don't go in as an equal citizen. You are introduced to that society as a slave. And you have to now start dealing with people who see you only as a slave and treat you like a slave. You know, there are certain situations that you come out of or you come into with life. And without you making any effort, people already belittle you. They do. It's like when you are an African and you go to a European country or a Western country or even now China and other places. You start speaking. They just listen to your accent and they categorize you behind, below, beyond. That's where Joseph was coming from. Joseph was like that boy. He's a foreigner. He's looked down on. He's a slave. He doesn't know the language. He has to learn the language. He has no friends. He has no relatives. And he has to deal with life. It's a wall. It's a barrier. And the fourth wall he had to deal with was that he was a prisoner. He was forgotten in prison. When you are in prison, you are discarded. You are thrown away. Where society wants to forget you, they want to forget you ever existed. So here is a young man. By this time, he is probably in his 20s. He came to this country in his early mid-teens. He's worked all kinds of jobs trying to survive. Finally, he gets a good job for his master called Potiphar. And he now gets promotion because he's doing so well. He's in his 20s. He finally thinks, I have settled. Life is good for me. Things are going to work well. And then he gets into trouble and his master's boss blackmails him. How do you get a defense against Potiphar's wife? Now he's in prison. It's supposed to be the end of the story. Finally, the arrows have worked. They have killed him. And finally, the walls have stopped him. But for some reason, none of these stopped this young man. None of it. For some reason, he survived. For some reason, he overcame. For some reason, his story did not end in the prison. And I'm here to encourage somebody. I don't know what walls you have dealt with. Maybe for you, 2015 was the worst and 2016 has surpassed it. And you look at your life and it looks like you are moving from pit to prison. I mean, it's just diminishing returns. Nothing works. Because your life is full of arrows, of walls, of difficulty. But this boy was not broken. For some reason, he still stayed in the game. And I believe you will stay in the game. I believe you will stay in the game. So let's look at what made him successful? What counted for Joseph's success? The verse 24 says, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Two things. The Bible says his bow remained in strength. That phrase does not mean that he just stood there doing nothing. It means that while he was being attacked, he didn't become weak. He did not grow weary. The struggles of Joseph went on for about 17 years. In all those years, he never grew weary. He wasn't tired. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He had arrows pierced inside him. He had bitter memories of his past, but he continued moving on, saying, I will not give up. I will not die in this place. I will not be a disaster. His arm, his bow remained in strength. He didn't grow weary, and he steadfastly fought back. Joseph fought against fear, against isolation, against hatred, against loneliness, against blackmail. And he didn't fight hatred with hatred. He fought hatred with hard work. He fought isolation with new vision. And today I've come to encourage you. I don't know what has happened to you. Maybe you've lost your business, something you'd worked with for 30 years or 20 years, and it's gone. And you're wondering, can I start again? Or maybe you started life and you're looking at all the things that you have to do and there are walls you can't climb. Or you are coming from behind, way behind. And you don't have the tools to survive. But the Bible says his bow remained in strength. I am here to tell somebody, don't give up. Don't be weary. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Don't just lie down and cry. Don't just stay there and complain. Don't just roll on the floor and make yourself dirty. There is a purpose for your life, and your bow must remain in strength. You must remain in strength. You must remain in strength. Life is pushing you hard, but you have to push it back. Life is putting load on you, but you have to push back that load. You will not die where you are now. There is something about the fighting spirit of man that makes him survive. During the Second World War, the greatest army was Germany. The British never thought they would get into the war. They thought it was a mainland European war. They thought they would be safe. Germany will attack everybody else, will attack Austria and Poland and France and leave them alone because of the channel. They are an island. The Germans decided to attack them. They were not prepared. And they ran all these attacks on them and bombed them and bombed them and bombed them. Even the King of England wasn't safe any longer. Buckingham Palace wasn't safe. Everybody was running helter-skelter. It looked as if the English were going to lose until they got a crazy prime minister, a short, fat man called Winston Churchill. They took off their prime minister who didn't know how to fight, and they elected a new prime minister, and he made a statement to them and told them, we will not surrender, we will not give up, we'll fight in the air, we'll fight in the sea, we'll fight everywhere. And all of a sudden, a people who thought they were defeated began to feel, we will not give up. They didn't even say we will win, they just said we will not give up, we will not surrender, we will not give up, we will not surrender. And the attitude changed the warfare. Sometimes weapons don't change warfare. It is the heart. It is the heart. It is courage. It is attitude. You may not have all the education, but you must have a heart. You may not have all the money, but you must have heart. You may not have all the experience, but you must have heart. You must have courage. And you have to say, I will not give up. I have been shot at. I am bleeding, but I'm not going to die. I am bleeding, but I will not quit. I am suffering, but I will not quit. That's what Winston Churchill told the British. The British generally are a very nice, gentle people, you know, very nice. They are not very boisterous people, but they needed a boisterous prime minister to wake them up from their gentleness. And that change of attitude changed the Second World War. I don't know what war you are faced with. I'm quitting. What is this? What is this? It's called life. What is all this? It's called life. And in life, you have to say, the arrows have been shot against me. They have targeted me. They have grievously wounded me. I have walls ahead of me. I have difficulties. I don't even know how I'm going to overcome them. I don't even know whether I'll win or not, but I will not quit. I will not. 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 I'm here to encourage somebody here. Don't give up. Because sometimes you give up at the time when the battle is about to turn in your favor. Don't give up. Don't give up. I cannot promise you that Ghana will improve. I will not promise you that the economy will be better. That is not in my domain. The people who manage it is up to them. But I can promise you there is a fighting spirit inside you. I said there is a fighting spirit inside you. And that spirit overcomes all challenges. It will come against all the arrows. It will come against all the walls. It will cause your branches to go beyond the walls. When they tried to contain Joseph, his branches went beyond the wall. Your branches will go beyond the wall. I said your branches will go beyond the wall. You're going to win this one. I said you're going to win this one. Your story will end well. The end of the game, you will be a distributor of wealth. You will be like Joseph. You will preside over abundance. You will distribute abundance. I don't know how it will happen. I don't know which economy is going to come. But there is something inside you. And you will win. Somebody say, I'm going to win this. You're going to win this. You're going to win this. You're going to win this. And the Bible says that his hand was made strong by God. The Lord made his hand strong. Lord, make our hands strong. Make our hands strong. That means that the Lord helped him, and the Lord made him alert and agile. He didn't sit to be destroyed. He was alert. He was quick. He moved quickly. He was agile. Life is not easy, especially life in Ghana. Life in Ghana is not easy. I don't know about life in Nigeria, but life in Ghana is not easy. But I suppose life in Nigeria is not easy too. And life in Togo is not easy. But life in Ghana is not easy. But life is possible. And life is doable. And you will overcome. May the Lord make your hand strong. May he make your hand strong. May he cause you to remain in strength. To remain in strength. You may not know what you will eat after church, but you must be strong. You may be ejected from your home, but you still have to be strong. You may not have electricity because you can't charge your meter bill and you can't pay your bill and you are sleeping in darkness for 1 week, but you have to be strong. You have to be strong. There's no other way. You have to be strong. And you have to tell yourself, I will not give up. I will still dream of a better future. I will still dream of my coat of many colors. Today, I may be wearing prison garment, but I believe I will wear a new garment in the future. I believe God will turn my destiny around. I believe it will be well with me. I believe I will come over this successfully. That is the heart of man. That is the heart of man. Winston Churchill used it to inspire a whole nation from defeat to victory. On the battlegrounds, generals who lead warfare have inspired their people, and sometimes a small group of people have overcome mighty armies. Not only in the Bible, but in real life. We have seen teams that were losing in a sports game and that have been inspired by the words of a coach to go and win victory. Because there is something about the human spirit that needs words of inspiration. And when those words of inspiration come, the walls are jumped over. And today I came as your coach. I came as your general. I came to inspire you, to tell you this army has been shot at. This army is facing walls, but this army will not be conquered. This army will win. I came to tell you, you've lost the first half. They've scored you four goals, and you have not scored any goal. But it's still the second half, and we are going into the match again, and we are going into the field again, and we're going to win this one. We're going to win this. We're going to win it. We're going to defy statistics. We're going to score goals faster than the minute hand can move. We're going to win this one. We're going to win this battle. You're going to win in this life. You're going to dream again. You're going to rise again. You're going to be successful. You're going to triumph. You have a story to declare.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.